Welcome everybody to the GFB podcast, God, Family, Business. My name is Raul Avila and I am your host, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Good evening, everybody. It is 6 o'clock. It is at the top of the hour, and I want to welcome you to our investment webinar, The Money Game. Today's title for today's webinar is called You Got the Money. You got the money. Tonight, guys, we're going to learn about different strategies that you already have in your budget, but you just have no idea how that it's available already. So the whole goal of tonight's meeting is to help you understand that you already have the money that you need to be wealthy. You already have the money that you need to be wealthy. So again, the title of it is You Got the Money. My name is Raul Avila. Welcome to our webinar, the Money Game. And my goal in every single one of these meetings that I've been doing for the past 9 weeks, and there's plenty of topics to talk about. So my goal for tonight's meeting is that you understand a little bit more the money game, the how money works, because money's working 24/7, 365. But if you don't know how it works, then money's never going to be working for you. And the beauty of this industry is that there are people out there that really want to teach you and super simplify the money game, because a lot of people are a little bit nervous, a little bit afraid of the money industry. And honestly, it's not hard. You know, I have an average IQ. I've been working in this industry for 20 years, but since the beginning, I've understood this concept, and I've been working for over 19 years on helping people understand this concept, which is not crazy, not hard, and does it work? Absolutely, guys, absolutely. You don't have to come from high income background. You don't have to come from wealthy parents. In fact, my parents, I grew up in low income housing, man. My parents grew up in a trailer first, then in government housing. And then my dad was able to get his first house through a government program, called USDA, rural housing, which allows people to build their own house as a way to kind of like give a down payment. And then the payment is based on your income. So if your income is low, your payment is low, but it's not really like that good because you have to pay that back in form of a subsidy. But the point is that my parents didn't have any money, and luckily because of that program, they were able to get into a house. But now that house, because of what we teach and what I'm going to teach you guys tonight and what I've been teaching for the last 9 weeks and what I'm going to be teaching in the future, has allowed my parents to pay off their house. First of all, almost nobody pays off their house. I think the percentage is like 65% of people never pay off their house. And that's a statistic that I saw a long time ago. It's probably higher right now. And my parents' house is paid off. My dad speaks very little English. My mom doesn't speak any English at all. And they didn't work crazy jobs. I mean, my dad, the highest income he ever made was $18 an hour, raising 5 kids. And yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. But I do remember, you know, I do remember not having like a little bit of the perks that my neighbors and my friends had, like a Nintendo, like all that stuff, right? But I don't remember starving. So my dad was a provider, but he wasn't able to build any wealth up until he started learning these concepts. So 19 years ago, he learned about how to pay off his house faster. Guess what? His house is paid off already. 19 years ago, he learned about how his 401k works. He was on track to only have $80,000 in his 401k. Now he has over $215,000. And he takes out about $20,000 each year. And guess what? When he's ready to take out the next $20,000, because he's been retired for about 4 years now, every time he's ready to withdraw some more $20,000, guess what? The $20,000 that he withdrew has been, is like a refresh button. You know, he has $20,000 that he gained. The money that he has is still being invested. So it gained $20,000 in interest. So basically now he's just living off the interest. Does that make sense? And that's awesome, right? He also got a will. My parents got life insurance, term insurance specifically. But he hasn't had a need for it because thank God my parents are still alive right now. And so just recently he told me, Raul, I don't need my life insurance anymore. They call me Ruli, right? That's my name since I was young. And he says, I don't need life insurance anymore. And I said, dang, you're actually right. You don't need life insurance anymore. Why? Because he's self-insured. He has money saved up over $200,000. So if something were to happen to him, they could pay off a funeral with that money. Does that make sense? He also has an emergency fund. Not only that, his house is paid off. He has no credit cards. He has no car payment. And he gets a check from Social Security of $1,200 a month. And not only that, he rents part of his house because the house was for five kids, right? Remember, he raised five kids, but now they're empty nesters. They live on their own by themselves. And so my dad, rents part of his house for $1,000 a month. And him and my mom are financially independent, guys. And here's the best part of it all. They started late. They started when my dad was 47 years old. So that should give you a lot of hope that you might not be if you're starting late, that's okay. You might not retire with millions. You might not be a multimillionaire, but that's okay. You could be financially independent just like my parents, even if you start late. But you do have to have some concepts. You have to build some disciplines. And my hope and my goal in having these free webinars for the community and specifically my clients and my teammates is so that they understand how money works, so that they could, we need to be reminded, for example, this morning I sat down with one of my clients who I had not sat down with for over a year. And she was telling me, Raul, I just want to know how my money is doing. And I want to give you some more money. But if you tell me that if you show me that it's okay because of the pandemic, she's worried. She hasn't looked at her money. She just knows that it's being invested and she trusts the conversation that I had with her, more than a year ago. And then I showed her, look, I'm about to show you what I showed her. Okay. Because we all have to be, once I showed her this, she got calm. We all have to be calm about the future. She's 59 years old. So she still has 10 to 15 years to retirement. And I told her, look, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Will there be a correction in the economy? There has to be. There always is. There always has been. There always will be. But it doesn't matter because the market has always recovered. The market has always bounced. And yes, there's these fear mongers that say, the biggest crash in the history of the United States is about to come. You know what? It might come. But I hope it comes. I really hope it comes because that's a good thing for you. That's a good thing for me. Because if the economy crashes, that means houses are going to be really, they're going to be available to buy for anybody. And right now, it's hard to buy a house. Yes or no? You could put a house in the market and that day already gets, 10 offers. And what sellers are doing right now, actually, is they're putting the house in the market at a low price. Because right now I have a family member that's looking to buy a house, two family members. And what they do is the sellers of homes, they put the house for sale at a very low price. And why do they do that? Because they want to start a bidding war. And I was reading an article this week about a house in somewhere in Florida because everybody's flocking to Florida. I mean, everybody's moving to Florida, right? People from California, especially New York, they're like leaving their states and going to Florida. And there's a house in a rural area that is about to fall apart. And he showed the picture of the house. He says, and I think the caption, I don't remember exactly, but it said, do not step on the balcony in the backyard. Enter at your own risk. And guess what? It started. The house started at $250,000. And the writer, the guy that visited the house said, and that was already a crazy price, $250,000. And the bidding war started, and after 80 bids later, the house was sold for over $600,000, guys. That's what's going on right now, right? So I hope a crash happens. That way I could buy another house and maybe a second or apartment complex or whatever, right? And also in terms of the economy and your 401k and your IRA and the stock market, if it crashes, that's a really good thing because it's going to bounce. If it crashes, that means it goes down sharply, kind of like the coronavirus, how it tanked in March of last year. And I'm going to show you a visual of that. Because if it does crash, then you're going to be able to buy stocks and mutual funds at a discount. And then it's going to bounce up and then it's going to be a good thing for you and I. Does that make sense, guys? So let me show you a quick visual of what I'm talking about, because you might be thinking, what is Raul talking about, right? And this visual is going to, you're going to be able to see. So you should be able to see my screen on my iPad. All right. And in my iPad, you should be able to see right now, the Dow Jones. Okay. So this is what I told the lady, look, your money is being invested in the global economy. And these are three indexes that you, that are there and available for you to understand and see. So here's the Dow Jones, which is the most conservative one because it has, it's just made up of 30 companies, but they're, you know, and it's, it is a little bit of companies, but they're the biggest, the massive companies, the Amazon, the Starbucks, the Google, the Microsofts, right? The Exxon Mobiles. And that, and it's basically the top 30 companies in each industry. Does that make sense? So look at this. I'm going to put this down and I'm going to use my two fingers. You could use this every iPhone at least, or iPad or a Mac, and any Apple product has the app called, this is what it's called. Okay. I'll show you guys exactly so you could see where I'm getting this. Okay. So this is a picture view of my iPad. I'm going to screenshot my iPad and I'm going to show you the app that I'm talking about. There it is. It's called Stocks. Okay. All right. So in this app, when you open it, it shows the Dow Jones on the upper left-hand side of the screen. It shows the S&P 500, which is the top 500 American companies, the biggest 500 American companies. Okay. And then you have the Dow, the NASDAQ, which is a bunch of technology companies. It's the technology index, the tech index. Okay. So again, in the last year, two fingers, I'm going to put them down and you can see the two little dots, right? I'm moving my fingers left and right. You see that? I'm going to move my left finger all the way to the right and my right finger all the way to the left. And look at the percentage that you see right there, right below the dates. It says 43.51%. It's in green. Do you see it? It's above the graph. 43.51% is what the market has done in the last year. In the last 12 months, guys, you would have made 43% if you were in the market. Or if you're in the market, guess what? Your money made 43%, which is great. Unless your money's super conservative, which, by the way, a lot of people made a big mistake of canceling their investments when the market was tanking in March of last year. And they made a big mistake because, look, they missed out on the growth on the bounce. So now I'm going to show you the graph of the 2 years. You see the 2 year chart? This chart shows you that it tanked right here. The stock market tanked from here all the way down here. Look at the percentage right there, -36%. A lot of people got scared. And guys, I could start this class every time with this concept right here, because a lot of people forget. And they get emotional when it comes to money and they see their investment returns and they see, whoa, it's going down pretty fast, like during this period. And a lot of clients called me and said, and two different reactions. One was, Raul, can I put money now? Is now the time to put in money? Look, the market's going down. Can I put money now? That, and I was like, yes, they got it. They understand how this works. They're going to be wealthy. They're going to be financially independent. I love it. But the majority of people forgot. The majority of people forgot. And I told, and they told me, Raul, it's going down. Should I take my money out? What's going on? When is it going to stop going down? It's just tanking and tanking and tanking. And guys, let me tell you, my response to them very calmly was, don't worry. Do you need your money right now? No, you still got 20 years to retirement, 30 years to retirement. Or 10 years, even 10 years is not bad. And I told them, relax, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. And in fact, put in more money. Remember the conversation that we had long ago about this, that when the market goes down, it's a great time to invest. And guys, this is what has happened in the history of the economy. I'm going to show you the last 10 years. Look at the last 10 years. I'm going to use the percentage. Look at what it says. The Dow Jones, 173 is the most conservative. 173% in the last 10 years. If you divide that by 10, that's 17.3% per year. You would have gotten a rate of return of 17.3% per year. Let's look at the S&P 500 in the last 10 years. 212%, that's 21% per year. And now, right now, you're going to be wowed. Ready for this one? In the last 10 years, the NASDAQ technology companies have gone nuts. 401%. That's 40% per year. Is that amazing or what? Look at this. The dates. April 11, 2011 to April 14, 2021. An exact 10-year period, you would have averaged 401%. So again, unless you're like 55 years old, getting close to retirement age, you should not be invested aggressively. You should not be invested in the economy. Maybe some of your money, like 50% or 60%, depending on your risk tolerance, but you shouldn't be invested 100% in stocks if you're, you know, 50, 55, 60 years old, because you're getting ready for retirement. And if the stock market tanks, then there's a problem, right? So let's get started, man. That was my quick little, and as you can see, the market has been doing good in the last week. The market has done, in the last week has done 0.35, pretty much flat since last Wednesday that we were on this webinar till now. The market has been pretty flat still. Okay. So, oops, I forgot these lights. All right. So, nothing exciting is going on today. The market went down a little bit. Yesterday the market was up pretty nicely, but it's kind of like doing like a side, the market's kind of like at a side, you know, it's going like, it goes up, but then it goes down. It's kind of like flattening up. Okay. But that's kind of like a little market report of what's going on. But let's get into today's class. What I want to share with you guys that is going to really, really help you is the title of today's meeting is called You Got the Money. You got the money already. You might say, show me the money, Ro. You got it. And I'm going to prove it to you today. So I'm going to go run through it real quick. Right now is 6:18. And my hopes is that in the next, 35 minutes, or 40 minutes, I hit you with all these different great ideas of saving money, and it's going to be kind of like a continuation of what I did last week. But if you missed last week, let's talk about it, okay? If you missed last week, you probably missed that I talked about ways to save money. Okay, so look, some people say, I don't have the money, Raul. I wish I could save for my retirement, but I don't have the money. We're broke, man. I mean, we're paycheck to paycheck and we make good money, but I don't know where my money is going. And you're going to be so surprised, guys, that you do have the money, and I'm going to prove it to you, and I'm going to show you, and this is going to bless you big time, dude. Big time, big time, big time. It did me. It has me. Now me and my wife save a ton of money, but it's because little by little when I started in the financial service industry, I was a high school teacher. I was making $46,000 a year, but I was broke. I was paycheck to paycheck. I had student loans, credit card payments, car payments. And I had just bought a house that I was selling because I couldn't afford it. I was broke. And I wanted to change that. But I didn't know a way out. And when I first started in the financial service industry, they told me, Raul, have you ever done a budget? I'm like, no, I've never done a budget. I knew what a budget, everybody knows what a budget is, right? But I had never done one. So then he pulled out a budget worksheet that I want to share with you guys today that that I'll send it to you for free. You just have to text me, okay? Hey, Raul, can you send me the budget worksheet, okay? And man, this is so cool. I can't wait to share this with you guys. I'm just so excited to share this. So that's number one, okay? So write it down. Point number one, and I did this last week, so this is a good refresher course if you watched this last week already. But if you didn't, then man, this is going to be something really cool that's going to benefit you big time. Okay, so here it is. This is the budget worksheet that I'm going to send you. You just have to request it. I'll send it to you for free. This budget worksheet has saved me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, a ton of money. And the way it works is that first you're going to put your expenses. You're going to put your expenses. Oh man, my pen is missing. Ooh. All right. Well, just imagine. Okay. I'm just going to zoom into this thing. Look, in this budget worksheet, there's the reason I love this budget worksheet is because it talks about two different important factors in your budget. The first one is how much are you spending, or where is your money going right now? Write this down if you're taking notes. If you don't tell your money where to go, you're always going to wonder where it went. I'm going to repeat it. If you don't tell your money where to go, you're always going to wonder where it went. The first time I heard that phrase, I wrote it down and I said, hey, can you repeat that again? I wrote it down and then I memorized it, and I've never been able to forget that for the rest of my life, 19 years later, okay? Because I was not telling my money where to go. No wonder I was always wondering, where the heck is my money going? And so you have to find out, before you tell your money where to go, you have to first find out where it's going. Okay. So here it is. How much do you pay in rent? Or if you don't rent, you have a mortgage, then that's in a different section over here, right? Look at this on the debt section. How much do you pay in debts? What's your mortgage payment? What are your other debt payments, like car payments, student loans, credit cards, right? So there's a section for everything, right? How much do you pay in your cell phone? How much do you pay in electricity, gas, transportation, right? Family, giving, transportation, right? Leisure, right? Debt, insurance, savings, taxes. You have to know exactly where your money's going. You have to first find out where your money's going, right? And then when you add it all up, you're gonna put your monthly income minus your total living expenses. And then the answer is going to be a surplus or a shortfall. Surplus being that you make more money than you spend. Shortfall is you spend more money than you make. Okay. You're at a negative, you're in the red. But surplus, believe it or not, is worse than being in a red. Because if you just did this budget worksheet and you looked at where your money is going and you didn't find some of the money and you're making more money than you spend, then the question is, where is that money at? Where is that money at? Because if you're saving it, well, I should have gone here. Does that make sense? And then before I go to my next point is, then you put, how much are you going to spend in the future? So you're spending X number, like for example, one of the big ones that a lot of families spend money in, mismanage money, is restaurants, eating out. Or Uber Eats, right? So you might be spending $600 a month on restaurants, but what if you do a budget cut of $300 so you could save $300 for your retirement? Raul, I love eating out. Okay, great. But let me tell you something. If you save money, I'm going to show you a quick financial calculator. Look at this. If you save $300 a month for the next 30 years, because you love to eat so much, you're going to spend in the next 30 years, $108,000 in food. But if you do a budget cut and you save $300 a month for your retirement, and you put it in a Roth IRA, and you put it in good mutual funds, which I could teach you how to choose great mutual funds in your 401k, then you're going to get, guess what? You're going to get a 10 to 12%. Let's say you get a worst case scenario, 10%. And I already showed you, you could get a 14, in the last 10 years, 40% per year, right? But that's not too, like, I wouldn't bet on that forever. And eventually the market is going to correct itself, right? So let's say you just get 10% per year. Well, $300 a month, which is $108,000 of your money, is going to turn into $623,000. Tax free for your retirement. Sorry, hopefully it's not messing with your ear, because I'm getting loud, right? this is just really big, a big deal for you and your family. And this is what I preach all the time to families. And some get it, some don't. But man, I hope, my goal is that everybody gets it. You see, by doing just a simple budget cut on eating out, you could already save $600,000 for your future. So how important is it to budget? It is vital. It is huge. It is very, very important to budget and to build a budget worksheet. So hopefully you do this and you do some budget cuts in your life. And I promise you, you already have the money. So again, you got the money. All right. What's the next one? You ready for the next one? Write it down. So number one is, if you do a budget, I promise. And by the way, all you have to do is text me at 760-501-2536. I'm going to put it on the chat. Okay. And what I want you guys to do is text me, request anything. You can request my notes. I'll send them to you. I have them all in outline format, nice and neat, on what I'm going to talk about tonight. And I'm running out of time. So just, all you have to do is just request it to me and I'll give it to you gladly. I want to help you. Okay. So here we go. There it is. The number is 760-501-2536. It's also on the notes, on the replay link for YouTube. Request the YouTube link. And by the way, if you request the notes, I'll send you the YouTube link so you can watch all the replays for the previous 8 weeks. Okay. So don't forget to do that. All right. Number two. So we're done with budget. All right. Nobody likes that B word, man. Cause they think that budgeting is like a negative thing. Like, oh man, I'm going to have to not splurge. I'm not going to be able to do the things I love to do with my money. I mean, I work hard for my money. Raul, don't tell me what to do with my money. Right. But that's a mistake. That's a very costly mistake that you're beginning to see, right? So number two, shop around for auto and homeowners insurance. Don't be loyal to Geico, or don't be loyal to Safeco. Don't be loyal to Allstate. I mean, auto insurance companies is the most competitive industry on planet Earth. And they're always changing their rates. So if you could even call your own auto insurance company and say, hey, you know, maybe your driving situation changed. Maybe you had a speeding ticket, a point in your record, and you don't have it anymore. So your driving history is better. Maybe you moved to a better neighborhood and you know, the rates change based on where you live. There's a lot of factors. Me and my wife, we shop around for auto insurance every 6 months. Worst case scenario, every year, like clockwork. Just recently, we saved about $30 a month on our auto and homeowners insurance. And guess what? $30 a month is good money. I'm going to show you the financial calculator again. And I'm going to be going back to this over and over so you could see what $30 would do for you or me if you were to save $30 a month for the next, for the next 20 years, right? That means that I would have saved saving $30 a month. So look at this right here. See that? If you would have saved $30 a month, I would save in the next 20 years, $27,000. $27,000 in my pocket because I decided to shop around every 6 months, guys. That's the way I look at it. That's the way you should look at it too. You're always saving money, even if it's 20 bucks. Bro, 20 bucks is nothing. 20 bucks 20 years from now is $20,000. It's a lot of money, okay? So shop around. If you, for example, I provide a system for my clients where, you know, they have to call this number, kind of like calling Geico, 15 minutes saves you 15%. Same thing with me, right? And we work with 30 companies. Over 30 companies that are top rated. So that's another thing when you're shopping around, don't just go to, like, you've seen billboards on the, you know, on the freeway that says $15 a month for auto insurance. Well, be careful, right? You know, cheaper is not always better. If you're going to shop around, make sure you shop around with top rated companies, top rated carriers that are going to be there. If you call them, are going to be there. If you have a car accident, are not going to say, or, you know, you're not going to get a voice message. You're not going to have a hard time getting in touch with the insurance company, right? Make sure it's a top rated company. And that's what we do. We work with 30 top rated companies, carriers that will help you with, you know, save money and shop around. And I do this again, every 6 to 12 months, I shop around. So that's another one. So again, you have the money already. You just need to do these little adjustments. Here's the next one. You ready? The next one is cash value versus term. Cash value versus term. I'm gonna show you a quick explanation on this. And I went over this last week. So I'm gonna go through this one real quick, okay? So here we go. Cash value insurance is an insurance that has a savings vehicle attached. It's the worst type of investment that you could have. But a lot of people don't know about this. And I love to talk about it because a lot of people are getting taken advantage of, basically screwed over. It's a very terrible predatory product. It's basically insurance and savings bundled together in one policy, but it has terrible, terrible consequences. So here it is on the left side of your screen. You see the names of these cash value policies are called whole life, universal life, variable life. Okay. If you have any of these three policies, please talk to me, call me. I'll give you a free review of your policy. I know how to read these policies are written by attorneys, but I've been doing this for 19 years. I'm an expert at reading these policies and I'll give you a free class. I don't care where you live. You don't have to live in California. I'm from Southern California. You can live in New York. You can even live in Texas. What I'll do is you just have to scan your policy and then put it on Zoom, on a Zoom. You don't even have to send it to me. Just put it on Zoom share. You could block out all your personal information and we'll review it together for free. I'll do it for free, guys, because that's how much I hate these policies. These policies are terrible consumer products, predatory products that are sold by agents that are looking into their own interests. These commissions for these policies are crazy, crazy big. So here's how they work. Look, right here, you have an example of a 35-year-old couple, John and Mary, paying $225 a month for their cash value life insurance policy. And the way they sell it is they say, look, by the time you're 65 years old, you're going to get all your premiums back. So basically, you didn't lose any money. And guys, it sounds good. I know it sounds good, but it's a huge catch. There's a huge catch. Here's a catch. Number one, in the first 5 years, there's no savings. There's no savings. So you're actually, if you you're paying extra for the savings, but in the first 5 years, most people cancel their policy. And guess what? They keep your money because most people, that's the statistic. Most people cancel their policy in the first 3 years, in the first 3 to 5 years. So basically they keep all your money if you cancel in the first 3 to 5 years. Terrible, terrible investment. How would you feel if you go to a bank and you say, hey, what's my balance after 3 years of paying, right? And they say zero. You say, what? Zero? Where's my money at? Exactly. Big ripoff. Number two, in the past, you pay 4% to 8% interest to borrow your own money. So how would you like to save money in the bank? And then you say, hey, I need my money. They say, great, and we'll give it to you, but you have to pay 8% interest. How would you feel? It's your money. Why should you pay interest to borrow your own money, right? And then number three is you lose your savings if you die. So let's say, you know, at age 60, there's $70,000 in the cash value and John passes away. Mary is going to get $100,000. She will. That's the life insurance proceeds. But Mary should also get the $70,000 in her cash value, but she doesn't. And who keeps it? Insurance company keeps it. They make a killing. So this is why what you should do is get a term insurance and you're going to save money right away. Check this out. Term insurance for $80 a month, you're going to get $250,000. So term insurance is cheaper, right? And it's for a certain period of time. So that means you need to be saving so that when the term ends, you have a bunch of money saved up. So here we're going to free up $145 a month. And at 9%, at age 65, they're going to have $265,000 instead of $76,000 on the left in the ripoff cash value policy. Does that make sense, guys? So look, if you have term, great. Maybe you could find a cheaper term, okay? But if you have cash value and you switch to term, for sure you're going to save some money. For sure you're going to save some money. So again, number one, build a budget. Number two, shop around for auto and homeowners insurance. Number three, get a cash value. Get rid of your cash value policy and get a term, right? If you're insurable, hopefully you're still insurable so you could switch. Next one, you ready for the next one? Oh man, this is so cool. Oops, sorry about that. Next one. Next one is sell the things you own. Sell some of the things you own. I know we all have them. We all have, my dad calls them triques, right? Triques means junk. Junk in the trunk, junk in the garage. We all have junk, guys. We do. Do a yard sale. Maybe there's a community yard sale, right? Maybe you could get on, open up an eBay account and sell some stuff on eBay. I know you have a cell phone that you're not using at the house that if you were to sell it, your kids are going to get mad, but that's okay because you're going to help them because they're not going to be on YouTube and on Instagram and all these different things. But you're going to make money so that you could do what? Save it. And I bet you anything, I guarantee you that if you do an inventory of all the triques that you have in your house, you could you could come up with about $1,000 to $2,000. And that's conservative. That's minimum. You could come up with some money so that you could do what with it? Put it away for your 2020 Roth IRA retirement plan. And by the way, side note, right now we're in IRA season, okay? I've been doing a lot of business with people that are calling me that they want to fund their IRA for their retirement. Just recently, just before this meeting, I got a text from somebody that says, hey, the $4,000 is in my account, ready to be withdrawn. So all I have to do is just get on the, because he wants to put money for his 2020 investments. And you got, guys, this is beautiful, okay? Because of the pandemic, the government extended the deadline from April 15th to May 17th. You could invest for the year 2020 still if you do it before May 17th. And I encourage you guys in a huge, huge way to make sure that you're putting money away for this for the year 2020. If you haven't maxed out your Roth IRA this year, if you're under the age of 50, you could max out your Roth IRA with $6,000. If you're over the age of 50, 50, then you could put in $7,000 in your Roth IRA. And if I were you, I would do it because once May 17 ends, then you cannot put money for 2020 is sealed, done, game over. Now you have to focus on 2021. Me and my wife's goal every year is to max out our Roth IRAs. Just recently, in the last 3 years, we've been maxing out our Roth IRAs, and because our business is doing pretty good, thank God we were able to open up Roth IRAs for Ruby, Marina, and Esmeralda. So we got Roth IRAs for the three little princesses as well, and they are going to be financially independent. I was sharing with my team the other day that my youngest is 7. If I don't contribute any more money into her Roth IRA that I maxed out last year, $6,000, 2020, guys, check this out. By the time she's, I'll show you, check this out. By the time she is 60 years old, okay? So she doesn't contribute any more money and she puts in for, she's 7, right? So in 60 years, okay, so let me do some quick math here, okay? Give me 1 second. So she's 7 years old right now. So 60 minus 7 is 53 years. So if she invests for the next 53 years, okay, it only lets me do 50. All right, look at this. She's gonna have, okay, if she invests right there, you see that? Oh, it's too close. Okay, there it is. If she invests $6,000 right here, $6,000 at 12% for the next 50 years, which is not 60, so she still has to wait 3 more years, she's gonna have how much? Look at that, $1.7 million by the time she reaches retirement. So basically her retirement is done. She's done. Like she's done. And if I put in 6,000 a year until she's 60, she's going to be a billionaire by the time she is 60 years old, guys. That's pretty crazy. All right. So actually that's not true. She has to also max out her SEP IRA. So as a business owner, you could put in $12,000 to $53,000 in her SEP or simple IRA, but she'll have over $20 million, guys. That's amazing. How do you do that, Raul? You do it by opening up a corporation with an EIN number, like an S corporation. And then you make them your employees of your corporation and you pay them $6,000 as employees, and then you get those $6,000 and you put it in their Roth IRA. Does that make sense? That's how you do it. All right. So, man, we're running out of time here. So let's go to the next one. The next thing is, so again, get rid of your cash value, build a budget, shop around, sell your things, debt elimination. Okay. I'm going to show you a quick concept on how we help people get out of debt. And it's something that you should do. You should do it this way, because this is going to help you. And this is how I got out of debt, actually, by doing what I'm about to show you right now. So here we go. So let me share my screen real quick, and then you're going to see how to get out of debt really, really, really quick. All right. So here we go. Here we go. There we go. Okay. So check this out. Here's an example of a family that had a retail card, a credit card, a car loan, credit card, and a mortgage. Total payments of $2,720 a month, right? So the way you do it, the way you get out of debt is you first stack up your debts. That's why it's called debt stacking. You stack up your debts from the smallest balance to the biggest balance last. So the mortgage is the biggest balance, and then retail card number one is the smallest balance. Let's say they owe like $500 or $700. It doesn't matter. And then some people, what they do is they put extra on each credit card, right? How much do you pay extra? Oh yeah, I pay an extra $10 here, $30 here, $50 here. You get all that extra money and you put it in the smallest balance card. You pile it up, okay? You snowball it into the smallest one. And that's gonna allow you to pay off the debt faster, right? So in this case, let's say you pay off the debt. Oops, went a little bit ahead of myself. So once you finish paying off retail card number one, you're going to get the $220 that you were putting on it, and you're going to put it on credit card number two. So your payment for credit card number two is going to go up to $573. Once you're done with credit card number two, you're going to get the $573 and add it to the car loan $551 for a total of $1,124. And you just keep doing that and doing that until you're debt free. So check this out. Without debt stacking, this family was going to pay off their debt in 23 years, save zero money interest, and pay $214,000 in interest. And with the same monthly payment with debt stacking, they're going to pay off their debt in 9 years, which is 14 years sooner, save $130,000 in interest. So they're only going to pay $83,000 in interest. And then now they have money to save. Right now, the average car payment in the United States is $500 a month, guys. Imagine if you were to save $500 a month for the next 30 years. Let's check it out. $500 a month for the next 30 years is $1,540,000. So the average car payment right now is $540,000. Just trust me on that, okay? Because I still got to show you something else. Get a financial calculator, by the way. Oh, and I'm going to show you. Raul, I like that calculator that you have. What is it? I get asked that all the time. So let me screenshot it so I could show you which one it is, okay? So there it is. Go ahead and screenshot that. It's called Compound Interest Without Spaces. Compound Interest, and just look for it. This is an awesome app. I love it. You could use it all the time. Have fun with it all the time. If let's say you have a 401k and you increase your savings, you could use it and say, okay, if I add an extra 100, if I add an extra 200, how much money will I have for my retirement? And you could mess around with that. That's a really cool tool to have. All right. So now that you're debt free, what do? You freed up money so that you could save it. And oops. Okay. Sorry about that. Here we go. So boom, there it is. Look at the red bar in the bottom. Once you're debt free, pay off your debt. Once you're paid off, your debts are paid off, get the $2,720 each month and save it to age 67. At 9% return, you're going to have $2.4 million. Use a financial calculator on that as well. And you're going to be super excited to save more money. It's all about saving money, guys. It's all about saving money. Okay. So we're done with that one. Now let's go to the next one. What is the next one? The next one is check your credit. I'm going to read this one to you because I was doing some research on this because I want to help more people and be better prepared. And check this out. It says right here, if you check your credit, not on a bogus free credit report website, okay? So you have to like go, because they don't show everything. Go to a service where you pay and you check all three credit repair companies, not credit repair, credit bureaus, Like, for example, the three are TransUnion, Equifax, and I forgot the third one. TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. There you go. It's two E's and a T. So Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Those three different credit scores have their own little criteria, and then the combination of all three is your credit score, right? So it says pay for a service, know what's on the report, fix any discrepancies. And this is why you want to do this. And I have a good buddy that does credit repair. So one of these days I'm going to have him as one of my hosts and one of my guests. And he's going to tell you exactly how to fix your credit. Because look, by having a good credit, you could save a lot of money in different things. For example, your mortgage, you could refinance your house and the interest rate's going to go down. You'll save easily 200, 300, 500 bucks a month on that. You'll get lower credit, lower interest rates on cars, on credit cards, right? Good credit lowers down your rates, not only on your debts, but also let's say, an auto insurance, some companies check your credit for auto insurance, different things. Just think of all the things that you could save money on if you had good credit. One of some of the things that you could do more or better and save more money if you had good credit, right? So that's another one, guys. You have the money, guys. You have the money. We just have to learn it. Okay, we're almost done here, and I'm gonna share with you a couple more. I have a lot more to share, actually. You have the money. You have the money. Here's the next one. Ready? Slash all unnecessary expenses. For example, we did the budget thing, right? But I'm going to get a little bit more in detail in regards to the budget. For example, stop wasting $5 a day on Starbucks. $5 a day on Starbucks is $150 a month. Now, dude, I'm preaching to myself as well on that one. Today, I got to my office 2 hours early before the main meeting starts with my team and I start training, right? And doing more of these webinars. And you know, I was waiting for a client to get there, and then I realized, oh man, I'm an hour early to that appointment. So in my mind, I started thinking, let's go to Starbucks, let's get a coffee, you know, let's get a little snack, a little breakfast, right? And then I told myself, no, don't do it. Save money. Well, in 2 weeks, we're gonna be going to Puebla again, and I wanna spend money out there. So the way I like to do it is I like to save, sacrifice so that I could please myself later on, right? It's called reward and punishment. It's called delayed gratification. And if you think like me or better than me, if you start saving more on different things that you overspend money on, guys, you're going to be so happy that you did this. Okay. So again, slash more of the expense. I guess this could be a part of the budget game plan, right? Here's the next one. You ready for the next one? Look for a lower cell phone provider. Think about that. See, you have the money, guys. Some of us spend too much money and we could save money if we switch on cell phone providers. I love doing that. But, you know, if the cell phone provider, like for example, AT&T in my area is no good. So I switched to Verizon, which ended up being cheaper than AT&T and better coverage. So think about that. Okay. How about TV? Do you watch TV? Is there anything good on TV nowadays? Right. I was listening to a podcast and it talks about how corporations make money. They make money by, watch, I'm going to share this with you. This is pretty powerful stuff right here. I was listening to a podcast and the podcast was talking about prime time. You ready for this one? This is going to blow you away. If you watch TV, maybe this will motivate you to cancel cable. In my house, we do not have cable. All right. So we save about $50, $60 a month, you know, 50 there, 50 here, 75 there, 100 there. Guys, it adds up. We don't have cable TV because we think that, you know, it's filled with junk. And plus, the prime time hours where people actually watch TV, which is right now, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., all right? These are where all the commercials are the most expensive because they're trying to manage your perception. People, you know, so instead, why don't you focus on doing, instead of doing tension relieving activities like watching TV, focus on doing goal achieving activities, which is, you know, maybe doing a part-time job or you know, selling stuff on eBay or doing all the things that we're talking about right here. Does that make sense, guys? That's something that you could do if you cancel your TV network. Again, that has to do with budgeting as well. Here's another budgeting one. Drop the gym membership that you never use. You know, instead, maybe you could work from home during that time. You could work out at home, right? So if you have a gym membership that you don't use, I mean, if you go to the gym, obviously, then handle, right? Like go to the gym and use it. But I know there's a lot of people, most people, they don't use their gym membership and money's coming out. And guess what? You could get rid of it. Okay, next one. Netflix, Hulu. You could cancel those. I know that's a little touchy subject right there. But instead of watching movies, maybe you could read a book. Or maybe just keep Netflix, but get rid of Hulu, get rid of HBO, get rid of Amazon, you know, whatever, or all these other networks, right? Disney Plus, there's so many of them, right? Choose, get rid of all of them, keep one. Or if you have five of them, get rid of three, and now you have two, and you're going to be saving money. See, guys, you have the money. Here's another one. We're getting close to the end, okay? So we're almost done. Understand your income. This is a big one, okay? So this is what I want you guys to do. I don't have one with me, but get a pay stub and look at all the deductions that you're getting from your paycheck, the taxes, what's being taken out. And it says right here, see what deductions you can eliminate and know what you exactly what you actually make. Okay. So, you know, you might be getting deductions. So I do this with clients all the time. Pull out your paycheck. And then all of a sudden I ask them, what is this deduction? And you know, the regular ones are the regular ones, right? Federal, state, FICA, and all that stuff, right? But then you have these weird abbreviations. And I ask them, do you know what this one is? And then the client goes, do you know what that is, honey? I have no idea. They don't even know what's being deducted from their paycheck. Every paycheck, payroll deduction, and it's happening. Isn't that crazy, guys? So this is something that you could change. You could change if you learn what is being deducted from your payroll deduction, guys. And last but not least, and I'm done with this one. You ready for this? Make money on a part-time basis. And I was talking about this last week that for example, working on anything, what is your passion? What do you love? I know you love something. Why don't you do it not just as a hobby, but do it in a way that you could make money? So for example, this is crazy, okay? Just YouTube is beautiful. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, right? Whenever I want to learn something, like for example, I went to Michoacan this weekend for the week for vacation with my family. And we took a trip from Michoacan, from Morelia, and we were staying in Morelia, right? And we drove to Puebla because that's where my wife is from. And the drive, by the way, is, you know, plug three hours and a half, beautiful road, very safe, really cool. But in that 3 hours and a half, I wanted to learn something, right? I don't want to listen to music, although I did listen to music, but then I said, you know, I could be learning something. And then I turned off the music and I was thinking, what do I want to learn? What do I want to learn? And I thought about the topic. And then I YouTube and boom, I started learning something new. So guess what? Let's say your passion is golfing and you love golfing, but you don't make money. In fact, you lose money golfing. So then what you could do is you could YouTube how to make money golfing. Crazy. I know it sounds crazy. You're going to find a YouTube video that will help you make money golfing. Raul, give me ideas, man, because I don't really know what I could do to make money. Just think of what you love, guys. Right now, I don't know if you love your job, okay? But if you love your job, then that means you could be a consultant in your job to other people on the side. You could do business on the side. Like, for example, when I was a teacher, my side hustle was tutoring. I would get paid more per hour tutoring part-time than I would get paid full-time as a teacher. And I just had my little side hustle, right? I started working in the financial service industry to learn, but then I saw that you could make money. So I started learning how to make money in the financial service industry. By the way, quick plug, we are looking for people. If you're interested in coming to work, learning how to do what I do and help people with their finances, then I would love to show you how you could, you know, earn money on a part-time basis doing what we do. And you could work from home and you could work from anywhere in the world. Like, for example, when I was in Mexico, I helped a client invest $6,000 into her retirement plan. And I was in Mexico. Crazy, right? So if you want to do something like that and then you could control your own hours, you don't have a boss, you could work with me on a part-time basis, but make money. Because look, for example, if you get your life license with me and you help a family in the area of life insurance, you make $600. Let's say you help one family part-time per month and you get those $600 and you fully fund your Roth IRA, that could be your retirement. I'm serious. It's that simple. But guys, again, you have the money. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the money. You just need to find it. Don't be afraid. But Raul, what if I can't afford to save $200 a month? That's okay. Start with 100, right? And you could set it up so that little by little, it goes up incrementally, and you won't even feel it. Before you know it, you're saving $500 a month, and you're financially independent, and you retire financially independent like my parents. Maybe not multimillionaires like my daughters are going to retire, but you could retire financially independent. If you're young enough, guess what? If you're in your 20s and 30s and you're listening to this, there's absolutely, absolutely no reason why you shouldn't retire financially independent. I promise you this, guys. If you do what we're teaching in this class, you will do it. All right, we're about to finish, guys. I'm gonna end with this. I want you guys to I'm gonna give you a link that I want you guys to do me a big favor and fill up the survey of this webinar. It's basically what's the next step. So I'm gonna send this to you again. If you want to get a replay of this webinar, go ahead and text me. Please give me a replay. Send me all your notes, Raul. I'll send them to you gladly, but just make sure you request it so that I know that you know who I'm sending it to. Text me your email or your cell phone number. I'll send it to you. Do me a favor on the chat or on the notes of this video. There's going to be a link that says, please click here for webinars next steps. Do me a big favor, guys. Right now, I'm about to start the Spanish webinar in about 2 minutes. Do me a big favor and click on that link so that you could send me this video, please. Yeah, I'll send it to you for sure. Do me a big favor and click on this link so that you could know what the next step is on with the information that you learn, but also to do a survey for me. Please do this survey. This is how what helps me. I mean, I do these classes for free. All I ask is that you do the surveys. Is that a deal or what? You know, these consultations usually cost, and if you hire a financial advisor, $300-$500 an hour, in some cases $1,000 an hour for 1 hour. I just gave you 1 hour of my time and I'm not charging you nothing. All I'm asking you is that you share this video with people and that you click on the link so that you could do the survey. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. I hope this was a huge benefit to you and you learned a lot of great new things today. And don't forget to join me next week same day, same time, same link. And for something new, fresh, and there's plenty of content for the next 10 years, okay? Forever. I mean, there's always new things to learn when it comes to the money game. Things are changing, tax laws and different things like that. And obviously, I'm going to be bringing in different experts. So thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great night, and I'll see you next week. Hey, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be doing more to come. Thank you for joining me in today. And if you liked this podcast, if it helped you in any way, please go ahead and subscribe to my podcast and hit a review, and that would be awesome. Thank you so much. Don't forget to share. Have a great day.